What's going on here? Twi, I didn't know you played solitaire.
I don't. These are tarot cards. I'm raising money for a new dishwasher, so I'm offering $5 card readings.
Yeah, and she's good, too. Last time she told me I was in for a bit of luck, and I won 10 bucks on a lotto ticket.
Whoa.
Spent 20, but still.
So where did you learn how to tell fortunes, Twi?
Oh, one of my mom's ex-boyfriends was a magician and a gambling addict, but he was also really good at reading tarot cards. He predicted when he was going to leave my mom, like, to the day.
Greetings, it's the Duke here.
And I'm Lady J, and this is Up Schitt's Creek, the podcast.
Dedicated to all things Schitt's Creek.
How are you, the Duke?
I'm really good. We're at 513.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm great. This is a fucking amazing episode.
Do you remember where you were when you watched this episode?
Yes, I do. I was on my couch at home, and I made everybody in the house shut up or go into another room because I was watching. And look, if you followed the show,
yeah, you kind of knew it was coming.
Absolutely. All the feels in this one. It makes me so happy, this episode, for many reasons, actually.
Yeah. I feel like we should just get right into it.
Let's.
Okay. This is episode 513, titled The Hike, and the Netflix synopsis is Patrick brings David on a romantic hike. Johnny's health scare puts an even bigger scare into the rest of the roses. Which, I mean, if you count Stevie and Roland as roses.
Yeah, right? Because Alexis and David are not even in this.
They never, as far as we know, they don't even know about the health scare
right.
at all.
Well, David, we understand because he's like
bigger
no
fish to fry.
But no service also wherever he is.
True.
Yeah, so I guess Roland and Stevie are like now family members.
Yeah, honorary roses.
Sure.
That's fair.
It is. But also, again, no mention of Ted and Alexis in that.
I know. Shocking no one.
Well, yeah, I know. But actually, you know, we're going to get into it.
Yes, we will.
But this one didn't bother me so much this time.
That's fair. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, so let's talk about Johnny, the whole Johnny of it all. The episode opens with Moira making a grand gesture to her children with a box of cinnamon rolls from the lobby.
Yes.
And cups of, well, empty cups.
Right. Which we don't even know until David literally like shakes the cup. So it's more than just coffee. It's a gesture.
Yeah.
We learn.
You don't have to be so literal.
Oh, God. I love that.
But you know what's funny, though, about that whole, like, this is just an empty cup thing, is you can always tell in TV and movies when somebody's drinking out of an empty coffee cup. Like, it's so clearly, because there's no weight to it, you know?
Right. It is. You're right in that, too. I've seen many shows where, like, they're eating or drinking, and you know there's nothing in their mouth as they're doing it. You're like,
Yeah, exactly.
How's the air taste?
So, turns out the programs for Cabaret have arrived.
Yes.
But they have arrived unfolded. And Moira is trying to get all the hands on deck that she can, besides her own, to fold these programs.
Yeah, Moira's not trying to touch programs.
No.
This is not her job.
No. I mean, not to mention the carpal tunnel from all the checks she signed.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Is that like a nod? Like, hey, listen.
Yeah, totally.
I, for years, gave you money, gave you all the things. Help me fold a couple of fucking programs.
She's totally guilt tripping them here.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they're not buying it.
Oh, of course
not. At all.
Of course not. Are you kidding me?
They do have plans. I mean, legitimately, they have plans.
True.
But while you're sitting here in fucking bed, help mommy out.
I know.
You?
She's just like on her phone typing away. What's funnier is like if Moira had just walked in with a box of programs or handed each of them like 15 programs right then and there, they would have just folded them. You know what I mean?
But like, she made a production out of
exactly. it. Exactly. And of course they're not going to take the bait. You mean, you know your children, Moira. Come on.
True. Very true. But we learn that the plans that they have today.
Yes.
David is going on a hike with Patrick.
Patrick has planned a, well, Patrick has planned a picnic. David doesn't know it's a hike yet.
That's correct. A picnic.
Yes.
Which we know David likes to eat.
Yeah.
This is no surprise to anybody.
Right.
But I don't know if he's into the whole, like, idea of going out into, like, wilderness to do this. I don't know. I'm not buying that he's here for it.
I think, well, because of the way he says the word picnic, all condescendingly.
Yeah.
It looks like, oh, poor Patrick thinks I like this idea.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's how David talks sometimes. Like,
sure.
He could be as sincere as all get out, but like his face tells a different story, right. You know?
But this is also why I love David and Patrick and their dynamic so much, because they are so different from one another. And when Patrick suggests something, David is very quick to be like, is this going to work for me?
Yeah,
exactly. And what will I have to do? What will I be required?
Right.
What effort will I be required to put into this?
In what way will this put me out?
Right. Whereas when David has an idea of something he wants to do, Patrick is very much like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know that I want to do that. So it's, you know, it's sweet that David amuses him and is like, ugh, okay.
Yeah.
Reluctantly.
Well, that's love, man.
It is. It's the give and take of things.
Exactly.
Also, not like Alexis's give and take, but, you know.
Right. An actual one.
Right.
Also, just elephant in the room, we are recording this episode in a different location than we usually do. So if you're hearing any background noise, we apologize sincerely. There's not much we can do about that.
I also feel like I'm yelling into the mic this time to try to, like, drown that out.
I know.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah, sorry.
Maybe
listeners.
Turn your volumes down a little bit.
So Moira is left no more in a better spot than she was 5 minutes ago when she walked in with the empty coffee cups and the cinnamon rolls. And when we cut to Johnny and Roland are helping, I guess, move certain pieces of furniture from the hotel to the theater.
Yes, and Moira has found someone to fold these programs.
Yeah.
Stevie is sitting on the bed.
Dutifully. Yeah. Just folding away.
I don't know what it took to get Stevie to do that. but I can imagine it happened very easily.
You don't think it happened easily?
No, I don't.
I think it did, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I could see her just appealing to Stevie's sense of, like, not obligation so much, but just the idea that, like, I have no one else to help me and these really need to get done. And, like, you know, you are such a part of the show. And, like, I could just see Stevie maybe not, like, buying it per se, but just being like, okay, whatever. And just
and maybe
working.
That's what I meant. Because I know in the past we've seen when she's been asked to do things.
Sure.
She doesn't do them without having something to say first.
Sure. Yeah.
So
begrudgingly, but she does it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's sitting on the bed folding. Johnny and Roland have, like, that dolly that they've, like, just unloaded things onto the truck. And when he comes in, he's a little bit, like, out of breath. He's a little, like, sweaty on the brow. And Moira asks him to take the seating chart, like, one last thing to load onto the truck. And when he goes to lift it, he drops it. He doubles over.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Wow. Johnny, are you okay?
How long has this affliction been operative?
I felt a little tightening this morning, Moira, when I picked up that box of programs from the printers, but I'm good.
John, how was I to know you were in peril? You keep everything inside like a bashful clam.
Miss Rose, I think maybe we should take him to the hospital.
That sounds alarmist. Right, John?
It's just a little muscle pull. That's all, Moira.
Yeah, you know, my cousin Lenny had the same exact thing, Johnny.
Well, what did your cousin do? Can we call him?
You can try. I don't think you'll have much luck. The poor guy died of a heart attack.
What? No! John, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Try to follow the sound of my voice.
Moira, I'm going to need your voice to take five for a minute. Thank you.
Okay, I really think we should go to the hospital.
Okay, you know what? I think maybe it's time to go.
Okay, no one panic. Okay, Stevie, get your car. John's a slow driver. We'll leave the programs behind, or maybe we'll bring a stack for the trip.
No, Miss Rose.
You're right. Everybody move. No, not you, John.
I know this is a very serious moment.
I know.
But, like,
but they bring
there's
the comedy.
So many things about this.
Come on.
The fact that she's like, Stevie. She wants Stevie to drive because Johnny's a slow driver. Not because he could be having a heart attack right. or anything, right. but because he's a slow driver.
And God forbid she drive.
right. Oh, my gosh. And then when she just, like, lowers
oh God.
Her voice.
What is that?
I think it's her. Hilarious. I think this is Moira's way of being scared. Like, I've totally think it's her, like, like, not trying. You know, people freak out and they get really high pitched, or they could scream and they could yell. Mm. They're like, oh my God. For me, because of the seriousness of this issue, like, of what's happening, right. I think this is her way of, like, being scared. I think
that's valid, but I also, like, literally think because, like, 2 seconds ago he tells her in her voice to take five, so that's her way of, like, changing her voice so that she can convey her thoughts, like,
yeah. Oh, I love it when she does that, though.
Maybe we'll take a stack of programs.
I'm gonna start saying okay like that from now on.
Okay.
It's everybody's scared. I mean,
yeah, legit.
The only thing in this that I'm like, oh God, is Roland and like my cousin. Oh, Jesus.
He's not helping anything.
Stevie, why are we going to call Roland's cousin to ask him for his advice?
Like, as if any two people are the same. Like,
you know what I mean? Like, he didn't sprain his foot or ankle or anything. Like, he could be having a heart attack. Hold on, Johnny. 1 second while I call Roland's cousin and ask him what he thinks we should do here. Like, fucking go to the hospital.
I know. Also, the way that Johnny says, like, I think it's time we go, is like, it's also, it's very, like, dramatic.
Yeah.
Like, all of a sudden, it takes a turn where you're like, oh, shit. Okay, if Johnny thinks he should go, when we should go.
That's true. Johnny's like one of those parents who will always take their kid to the ER.
Yeah.
Without a second thought. But for himself, he's like, whatever. It could be just like,
it's just a muscle pain,
spasm. Yeah. Anything could be happening right now. Yeah. But bless his heart, literally, like, he needs to go to the ER.
Yeah. No, it's important that they take care of this. So off they rush, and they're sort of like waiting in the waiting room. They haven't been seen yet. And Roland is, quote unquote, trying to help by bringing Johnny snacks from the vending machine.
I like this because there's no reason why Roland needs to be here.
True.
It was enough with, like, Moira, obviously, his wife, and Stevie, who came up with an idea of, like, hey, we should take him to the ER. I get it, you know? But, like, Roland could have hung back and, like, stayed at the hotel or at the motel. But I love them for doing this, including him into this, just to make it that much more funny.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, I also think, like, I don't know that Stevie and Moira alone. No, I guess they would have been equipped to handle this alone.
Yeah. They would have.
I mean, because it's not like Roland is helping them handle.
Stevie over Roland any day.
Yeah, truly. Thanks. Truly.
But the also, what is Roland going to do? He suggested his cousin. Like,
I know.
No.
I know. But also, to your point, though, like, somebody should have stayed at the motel. Like, it's still a business.
We're still running a right? business here. Yes. That's what I'm saying. But God bless him for doing that.
It's a suspension of disbelief thing. Like, we all have to be at the hospital now. It makes sense.
Roland's only purpose in this, like, storyline is to irritate things further.
And be completely unhelpful.
And buy junk food for a man who could be, potentially be having a heart attack.
And energy drink. Oh, my gosh. Yes,
the energy drink.
Oh, so
But
funny.
Also, like, try to imply somehow that Moira is like making a pass at him. So that's way too soon, man. Way too soon, Moira. Like, oh God, Roland.
And so this is where Moira sort of feels like she needs to like express herself in case things go wrong, I guess.
Oof.
Okay, why are we still waiting?
Moira, it's a hospital. Why don't you sit down, sweetheart?
John, I have sentiments that I often say to myself, and I don't say them out loud to you, and I'd like you to hear them.
Well, there are people around, Moira, so depending on what it is you're planning on saying.
I have given far too much attention to this bicorn of a show. And I want you to know, John, that you are the most important thing in this world to me. You know that, don't you?
So this brings us to our first segment.
Moira, say what?
A bicorn.
Uh-huh.
is a mythical creature that is part panther and part cow.
Oh, what?
But here's where the genius of Moira's vocabulary comes in. What is the Bicorn's mythology about? It devours kind-hearted and devoted husbands.
Oh my gosh!
I know!
What the hell?
Mind blown.
Absolutely. God! How fucking smart. Like,
it's fucking
come
genius.
Come on.
I love it so much. I say that
every
time.
Probably one of my favorite.
I think it is my favorite.
Wow.
Yeah. It's,
well, that's
just, it's
brilliant.
Just amazing.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
I mean, what more is there to say beyond that?
She needs to make her own dictionary.
She does.
Just Moira say what's.
She does.
That's it.
I know.
That's all. I would buy it.
I know.
And I would have it, and I would try to use a word every day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That would be my word of the day calendar, is Moira's dictionary.
For sure.
Totally.
Nobody would ever know what you're talking about, but that's okay.
Because it will always make sense.
But not to them.
No, but it will make sense.
Yes, absolutely.
If only you knew.
If you have to question it, we can't be friends.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it.
Sorry.
Period. End of story. I'm glad. You know what? I love when you take the time to look these words up. Like, it really brings joy to my day.
It brings joy to my day. I love doing it. Especially because there's some words where it's like we know what these mean. They might be like a little more obscure or like highbrow, but like we know what they mean.
Sure.
But when she throws things like bicorn in there, I'm like, I gotta know what this is.
Yeah, I'm glad you did that.
Yeah, very cool. So finally, they wheel Johnny in to run some tests.
Yes.
And, you know, they've been waiting out there for a long time and haven't received word from anybody as to what is going on. And finally, the doctor comes out. Well, actually, before the doctor comes out, they start sort of speculating amongst themselves, right? Roland unhelpfully starts talking about the last time, you know, waited this long to hear back. It wasn't good. Not helping anything.
Not at all.
Stevie's over there, like, curled up into a ball, like, on the verge of tears, talking about how, you know, he has to be okay because she can't run this motel by herself. She doesn't do math. And Moira's, you know, just sort of, like, understandably, like, just not good, you know?
Yeah, it's not often that we see Moira like this. But, I mean, what better reason to be that other than your husband, you know, could potentially be really hurt? Really,
something could be seriously wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. And she is. I mean, I think she's terrified at the notion of doing anything without him.
Yeah.
Living in a world without Johnny Rose, you know? I get it.
Yeah. I mean, and the truth is, like, in their own way, they all are. Even Roland.
Sure.
Like, his coping mechanism is to make inappropriate comments, you know?
Eat.
Yeah. And they're all just really, like, worried about him in their own respective ways that matter to them, you know. But then the doctor comes out and he's fine, you know. He's got to watch his cholesterol and, you know, eat healthy and stuff. But it was just indigestion.
Apparently so. That's some gnarly-ass indigestion.
Yeah. It's just a case of indigestion. He's fine.
Yeah.
And turns out Johnny's been, like, haranguing them with, like, stories from, you know, from his heyday and stuff. And
didn't Roland call him out on that before he even came out? Like, why? As to why it was taking so long in there? Nailed it.
Totally.
Nailed it.
He's either open on a table or he's just roped them into one of his long-winded stories.
Right. Everybody knows and loves Johnny so much.
I know.
Yeah, and he's then, an open book.
Stevie, like, jumps up and, like, hugs him. And Moira's, like, clinging to him for dear life with, like, her head on his shoulder. It's so cute to see her like that. I mean, there's really nothing like a near-death experience or thinking you're having one to really, like, show you how you feel about somebody or a situation. And, I mean, this is, like, showing us each person's relationship with Johnny.
Yeah, it is.
How much he means to them in their own way, I guess.
The one that I like so much is when they show how much Stevie loves and cares for Johnny and how much he also does in return. They very clearly need each other, I think, more than they realize. And I like how the show kind of plays with that. And it's really like a daughter-father relationship.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it really is.
We've known a little bit about Stevie's background, about her history. She didn't have much family, I think, growing up. She had her aunt who, you know, left her this motel. But for the most part, we've never really been introduced to anybody else in her life. We've never seen any of that for Stevie, with Stevie. So this is a really important relationship to her. And that's why when we see her get so emotional. Oh, good to have you back, Mr. Rose. Like, that's all she's going to give.
Yeah.
Because she can't. It's too much.
It would overwhelm her.
Yeah.
To say more than that.
Yeah. But I love their dynamic. I really, really do.
Very sweet. Mm-hmm. Very sweet. But yeah, no, I mean, he's going to be okay. You know, they just got to cut back on the wine and, you know, maybe switch to some salads instead of meatloafs and, you know.
Well, he needs to take a page out of Moira's book.
True.
Because of her eating habits.
True.
And Alexis.
Yes.
I don't think David.
No.
I think David and Johnny are kind of one and the same, you know, as far as what they eat and
how, like, their relationship to food and stuff.
Yeah.
Probably you're right. But no, he's going to be okay and everything is going to be okay. So back to folding programs.
All is well. All is well in the Rose motel room.
Yeah.
Not household, motel room.
Good stuff.
That's the deal with Johnny Rose and everybody else involved in this play at this moment.
While all this is going on, Alexis and Ted are sort of doing some more, you know, Galapagos planning and figuring things out for their trip. Ted has bought a bunch of stuff like snorkels and
bug spray.
I don't know that, like, the exact time frame has been established.
Huh, okay, but soon, I mean.
I think it's the summertime, right? They're going for however, or I guess more than just the summer because it's a 6-month program.
Yeah, I think they're leaving fairly soon.
Yeah, probably within a matter of weeks. I mean, knowing that the next episode is the last,
right,
is a series finale, and it's probably, like, just a matter of days between the events of this episode and the next one.
Which would make sense as to why he's buying all this stuff now. Because when I first saw this, I'm like, ooh, he's jumping the gun. Like, that's really soon to be buying all this stuff. But then when you think about it,
Yeah, you got to have all your materials.
Ready. He wants to go have shots, get shots.
Mm-hmm. Which they've already talked about. Like, it felt weird. Like, didn't you guys do that already? But okay.
Maybe Alexis didn't.
Maybe that's true. Maybe, because we do see later she's got the Band-Aid on her arm. Yes. So, like, we know she got her vaccines today.
Right.
But, yeah, so it's all becoming very, like, real. And Alexis, I mean, you know, she's as enthused as she's always been about this thing. Like, she knows how she feels about going to the Galapagos for however long. She doesn't love it, but she's doing this because she loves Ted and she knows that that's the right thing to do. And she's like, okay, yeah, we'll do it.
Do you notice, though, when they talk about the Galapagos and about their trip, how Alexis always changes it? Like, they're always going somewhere else.
Well, it's also in her mind a vacation, a getaway, a trip.
But I don't think Alexis is dumb by any means. I don't think that she thinks this is what it's going to be.
No.
I think this is her psyching herself. Yep. Like, you know what I mean?
It's like, how she has to frame it in her mind to be okay with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. That's interesting to me. Well, meanwhile, Ted is like, no, no, no. Mm-hmm. That's not what's happening
here.
It's going to be working. Let her. Just let her. You want her to go? Let her think these things.
Exactly. And so they end up at the cafe while they're out doing their errands, where Twyla is doing tarot card readings to raise money for a new dishwasher at the cafe, which is not a person, as Alexis assumes, but an appliance.
Wow.
You better get your story straight, Twyla.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I didn't know Twyla could read cards.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I'm not that surprised, though. It feels like this is very much a part of Twyla's repertoire of things she does.
Twyla wears many hats.
Mm-hmm.
They're all pretty strange, different, quirky, but she wears them. And I guess tarot card reading is one of them.
Yeah. And also, I mean, it's a creative solution to a problem. Sure. You know, she needs some money. Like, they can't afford the dishwasher just on proceeds alone, I suppose. Yeah. So why not, you know, if you have a skill or a talent, why not peddle? Well,
does she though?
Well, I believe everything she said.
Okay.
I mean, the cards are the cards.
Well, sure. Yeah, I don't know if she knows how to read them. I mean, like, Ronnie even said it. She yeah. go buy a lottery ticket. She won 10 bucks, but spent 20. Like, okay.
I suppose there's a difference between reading the cards and interpreting them.
Sure.
That's fair. But anyway, so Ted and Alexis decide to get a reading just to see how their trip's going to go. And here's the thing. Twyla has them put their hands on the deck of cards and, like, think about something they want. What do you think they're each wishing for here?
Yikes. For me, I think Ted is thinking about this trip and having it go off without a hitch, or this whatever
expedition
he's doing.
They're going
yeah.
on.
Mm-hmm. Going off without a hitch. I do genuinely think he wants Alexis to go with him.
Right.
And I think that he wants that to go a little bit smoother too with Alexis. And I think just that is all Alexis or Ted has in his mind right now.
Yeah.
I don't know about Alexis. I don't
know,
but I don't think it's that. I don't think it's anything that he's hoping or wanting or, you know, I don't.
Yeah.
I think they're two different pages.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I know, but because the cards that she turns over are indicating like a boat sinking, a funeral, like all kinds of like sadness and destruction and terrible things, which does feel like the answer to the wish of like, how is this trip going to go or
yeah.
whatever? You know what I mean?
I guess it's interpreting Alexis's fears.
Perhaps.
Oh.
I don't quite know how tarot works.
I have no idea how it works. Have you ever had cards?
No.
Read?
No.
Have you ever been to
I'm
a palm
kind of
reader?
Like Ted. Like, I don't really believe in that stuff.
So you've never been to any of that?
No.
Done any of those things?
No.
Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah. I don't buy anything.
Yeah.
But I've always been that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so sitting in front of somebody, it was a psychic.
Mm.
Like psychic reading kind
yeah.
of a thing.
That's the one I believe in the least.
Right. So you sit down, and I've had it done twice, all because I wanted to check like if the other person was accurate or if they were going to say the same
yeah.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really bummed that I did, if I'm being honest, because it made me feel gross after. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
I felt really like, ugh. Well, first of all, why? Why did I waste my time on this and money? And I don't know, the stuff that they said was so like, it was like a generalization of things.
Mm-hmm.
There was no, they weren't getting to anything specific.
Yeah.
You will find love. Okay.
Yeah.
You will find it when you least expect it. Okay. And then, you know, you have to be, if you want to be successful, then you have to really start focusing on, you know, look ahead and only look towards what you want and the
well,
things
no
that you
shit.
Want. It's like, what am I reading? The secret? Like, okay.
Well, that's the thing is like all that a psychic is doing, again, these are my opinions, but like all they're doing is helping you manifest your own destiny, which I believe in the power of manifestation. Like, mm-hmm. I do think that there is something to, like,
a lot of people
drawing
in yeah.
the energy that you want, you know?
Yeah.
Because, like, bad energy breeds bad energy, and
sure.
negativity breeds negativity. So, you know, I think, like, a psychic saying, like, oh, you're going to have fortune. All that's doing is like putting that in your mind to help you
yeah.
manifest that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whether or not you actually come into fortune, like, you know, you can't be like, oh, well, it's because the psychic said so.
Sure.
Or, and then just go like spending all your money and then going, but the psychic said I'm going to come into fortune. You know?
So this doesn't even
like,
matter.
Right.
This is nothing.
Yeah. Like that's not how
yeah.
that works, you know?
But, you know, having said that too, I think that there are some legit people out there who don't just generalize things aren't like, well, if you want love, you have to give love and like make that something, you know, the give and take, all that kind of whatever,
mm-hmm.
mumbo jumbo. But I do think there are people who do this. I mean, there are, and people who believe it. So mm-hmm. it's just like anything else in life where, you know, you and I may not buy it. Sure. We may not believe that, but there are many people out there who live their life that way and who you know, make decisions based on that kind of stuff.
Right. And that's, again,
that's cool. I mean,
that's fine.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you need that external, like, thing to help you manifest. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like sometimes you don't really know yourself. Like, you don't, like, see, like, this bad habit you have until somebody points it out. Like, you know, we all need sometimes that external, like, affirmation or validation or like awareness coming at us, you know? And so, like, for people that can't do that for themselves or don't want to do that for themselves and they want to seek somebody who can give them that, like, I think that's really kind of the purpose that psychics serve, you know?
Sure. I've always wanted to have my a card reading, though. Not because I buy into it, but just because I'm
interested. You just
want to see.
Yeah.
But like I said, I think my biggest fear is coming out of it feeling the way I did with those psychic readings where it's like, ugh. You feel gross. Like, I don't – honestly, if somebody were to tell me something like, this is going to happen to you, something very specific, I don't think that I want to know that. You know, that – because then what? Then I live with that, and then I have it in my brain.
Yeah, that
and then it's
help
like,
anything.
What am I supposed to do now? Mm-hmm. Like that, I don't know. That scares me.
Yeah. But again, it all comes back to manifestation.
Sure.
Because especially with tarot cards, like, you are putting the will, like your wish or whatever, onto the cards, and then the person is literally just flipping them over and telling you what they mean. And like, you are then applying meaning against what it is that you put on those cards, you know? And so you're sort of making it happen to yourself, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. So she reads all these terrible cards. They're not seriously, they're not obviously very jazzed about this.
No, it's not helping Ted out.
No, because it's only making Alexis's anxiety stronger,
right,
which doesn't serve Ted's purposes, to your point. So they sort of, they don't really like resolve that too much. It's sort of just like cut to the next scene and then we cut back and they're back at the apartment, you know, like we don't really see like the resolution of them leaving the cafe. But when they're back at the apartment, Alexis is like on the couch, sort of just looking at the tablet when Ted comes in with more stuff, I guess, for the trip. And, you know, it's like, oh, what are you doing? Oh, I'm just being on the internet. My favorite line. I love that so much. I'm going to start using that. Just being on the internet. And she's done an image search.
Oh, no.
For
catamaran. Boating accidents. Wow.
Because she wants to see how bad it can be, like, if she were to be in one.
That is so morbid.
It is very morbid. But I also don't think Alexis sees it that way. I think for Alexis, this is hard research. Like, she needs
to. What could happen to me? What could I look like if this were to happen to me? And how would this affect me in the future?
Yeah. I think in her mind, like, for her, it's just like, these are the necessary pieces of information she needs to make an informed decision, you know?
The only thing I can envision of her is her seeing pictures of, like, people's heads, like, just sheared off and stuff. Which, and, like,
yeah, how does a capsized boat, like, decapitate you? Like, you know what I mean? Like, how does that work? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't want to say it's not possible.
No, I'm sure it is. I don't want to know.
Possible in the ocean.
No. See, now that's all I can think about.
Now that's all I can think about, too. I'm just seeing blood and chum in the ocean.
And chum.
That's what I'm envisioning.
Your fish food.
Yeah.
Oh, exactly. God.
Shark food, if nothing else. But so Ted, you know, sits her down and is like, listen, no more searching terrible things for you. Alexis shares with him that she is feeling this really weird thing where she feels like the minute she leaves, her family's going to be here and she's going to be there. And it's like weird.
So going to be homesick.
She doesn't know how to describe the word or use the word missing something.
Right.
Like, that's literally the definition of missing someone.
Yeah.
It's very sweet. She's worried about it what's going to happen with her dad because they gang up on him.
I love that she's so concerned about her dad.
I know.
And David.
And David.
She knows that her mom can be quite
No one's worried about Moira.
No. Yeah, but she says, she goes, I'm basically like the only friend that he has.
It's so cute.
That is adorable.
And she doesn't even know he's in the hospital yet, like, or at all.
No.
You know, this is just coming from a sincere place of like, I love my dad. Like, what's going to happen if I'm not here?
It's sweet too, because Alexis is really good at making excuses.
Yeah.
Making up excuses and like saying things and stretching things a little bit too much, exaggerating. But I don't, that's not what's happening here.
No, this
is real.
I mean,
she's like legitimately worried about her, you know, what the toll that her absence is going to take on her family.
Yes. But you know? I think, but I see, I do think that that is just her covering for the fact that she's going to miss them.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
As much as I believe that she is actually worried about Johnny and David and stuff, like, I don't, I'm not saying that that's not true, but I ultimately, right, it is sort of selfish or narcissistic in that way of like, I'm going to miss them.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to be without them, you know? And Ted makes a very good point here, which is that for the first time in a long time, she is breaking away from her family. Like, they've been such a unit ever since they moved to Schitt's Creek. They haven't done anything by themselves. And this is a big step for her, because not only is she doing this for the first time in a long time, but she's doing it with a as a completely new Alexis. So it is a big deal, and Ted, like, validates that for her and tells her, like, listen, we'll go if we absolutely hate it after a couple of weeks, we will come back and it won't be the end of the world. I know. That's
just as I said at the beginning of this podcast when we first started, I don't hate him in this one.
No.
I'm not mad at him in this one. I really think that he's trying his hardest to be supportive. You know, he wants Alexis to feel good about this decision.
Yeah.
About going.
Yeah.
And he's doing a good job. I mean, he's here for it. He reluctantly did the tarot card reading thing. And that didn't end up.
Right.
That didn't end well. But nonetheless, he let her do it. And now he's trying to, like, fix the situation that created somehow. And it's even to the point where he's like, listen, if you don't like it, we'll come back.
Yeah.
Dude.
Which, not for nothing, but like that is the conversation they should have been having 3 episodes ago when this idea was first pitched.
Yeah.
And we talked about it then, but like the conversation should have always been, listen, this thing that I signed up for 2 years ago has come to fruition. I really want to go. And I really want you to go.
Yeah.
And I know that you might think that you don't want to go because it's a long time commitment and it's like a place that's not the best, like most lush ocean beach experience. But why don't you give it a shot? And if we absolutely hate it, we can always come back.
True. But I think the show did a really good thing here where they made that initial introduction to this whole Galapagos Island thing about him. More about him.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know? And I think that now they're making it about her. Now the closer that they get, Ted's all for it. He's comfortable. He's preparing. And now Alexis is like, oh my God, what's happening? You know, we get both sides to this.
Yeah. And now the reasons for her apprehension for going is not so much selfish as it is like motivated by her love of her family and her, like,
valid, completely valid.
Totally. Yeah.
And I'm glad that they approached it in that way, because if it was anything else, if it was her being like, oh my God, well, you know, like when she goes, my laptop's here and all that stuff,
right.
Everybody was just kind of like, all right.
Right.
What are we doing here? Like, what is your argument?
Exactly.
But now it's, we get it. She's going to miss her family.
Mm-hmm.
These people, this family who came here not having ever spent any time with one another.
At all.
And now that's all they do.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And they've learned to appreciate that and I guess rely on that with one another. Really. That's all they have.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's sad.
It is sad.
I get it. I feel for her.
I know. It is. It's a real thing. I don't know if I could do it, man.
I don't know if I could do it either. I don't know.
It's a long time to be away from all of everything you know.
Yeah. And even if it drives you crazy and up the wall sometimes, I don't know. At some point, it's just like, okay, I would do anything for that craziness right now.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Well, she's going.
That's where we leave it. We leave you it know? On. We'll go. If it sucks, we can come back, but let's go.
Yeah. Should we take a quick break before we get into this?
Yeah, actually, that's a good idea. We should okay. do that.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we're back.
Hello, you. I don't even know how to start this because...
I do.
Okay.
Here's how you start this.
Okay.
When they pull over in the car on the side of the road. Okay. And David's like, what the fuck are we doing on the side of the road? This is not the ideal picnic spot. It's like we're asking to be murdered. I was picturing us in an English garden.
Oh, yes.
Why is the Notting Hill reference the immediate reference that comes to mind? Before Patrick says it, I'm like, oh, like Notting Hill?
I mean, isn't that what he's describing here?
Exactly. Also, where did he think he'd find a private English garden in Schitt's
Creek? I have no idea. Oh, just my saying. God. I don't know where he thought he was going to find any of those things at all.
David, I love David because he, after all this time and after all the evidence to the contrary, I still think he has this vision of this town of something greater than it could ever be.
He's being optimistic.
God bless him for that. Like, he will, like,
that's a lot for David.
He sees Schitt's Creek as the town he knows it could be and not as the town it is. You know what I mean?
Good for him.
Yeah, absolutely. We should all be that way.
Positive poncho over there.
So he's like, you know, Notting Hill, English Garden. Patrick's like, no, we are going to go on a hike and then we will picnic.
And is this the first that David has heard about this hike?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because he's like, wait, what hike? Like, because then Patrick throws him a backpack and it's like, what the hell is this? That's your picnic basket, man.
Yikes. Mm-hmm. Imagine being David, though, in all fairness.
Too much.
To David.
Too much. It's too much for me.
You said we were going on a picnic.
Yeah, I know.
That's all.
I know.
Now I have to go walk?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. How far? Like, what?
Some indiscriminate amount of time that you have not told me how long?
Even if it's just, like, across the field. I don't want to walk. Can we just plop down right here and have this delicious picnic?
I know.
But Patrick knows what he's doing.
Patrick has a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And David knows to accept that.
Sure.
You know, as much as he's going to gripe and complain initially, he knows he's going to go on this hike with with Patrick.
And why? Because he loves Patrick.
That's right. So off they go. He's carrying, they're each carrying a backpack. They're hiking. We get a few bits of like them on the hike. You know, the first one is David complaining about not having service. And
yes.
And the next one is like, this bag is very heavy. What is it? What's in here? And it's like ice packs because of all the cheese he wanted.
Oh, my gosh.
And then the third bit is they are hiking and David is complaining and complaining and complaining. And Patrick sort of has it up to here with it. Yeah.
Okay, David, you want to turn around?
Well, the app that's counting my steps isn't working, so I honestly don't know.
You know what? I got up early to pack these bags for us because I thought this would be a fun thing to do together, but obviously that was a mistake.
Okay, wow. So then let's keep going then.
Well, no, because there's like another half an hour to go. Ooh. So I think it's probably better if we just call it now and forget about the picnic.
Okay, well, we can't forget about the picnic because I will need to eat at some point soon.
Really?
Okay. I love that you've done this for us, and I think you look very dashing in your hiking clothes. It's just a long way to go for some cheese.
Then let's turn around, David, because honestly, I can't.
Ah! Where's the bear?
No. I stepped on a branch, went right through my shoe.
How do you know that it went through your shoe? Okay, everybody calm down. It's going to be fine. So that, we should go to the...
Okay. Over there. It's right in the sock.
Yeah, I can see that.
The things that David says. First of all, where's the bear? Then everybody calm down. What? Where is everybody?
It reminds me of when in Meet the Parents.
Oh, yeah.
When he's when they're in the cafe and
nobody
he's like,
say
hey,
a word.
Nobody say a word.
Oh, my gosh. Apparently, David doesn't like when people talk.
But, you know, I've realized, like, I do that, too. Like,
really?
I do it, like, facetiously. Like, I know I'm being, you know, kind of silly when I say things like that. But, like, whenever things get crazy, I'm always like, okay, everybody calm down, like, to myself, you know?
Because you're the one that needs to calm down?
Exactly.
True. Yes. I could see that. I could see how that would be a thing. Do you
Poor
see
Patrick.
When Patrick steps on this, like... What is it? Is like a thorn?
It looks like a branch that's got thing. Little like offshoots that are spiky on it, I guess.
It reminds me of, do you know Disney?
Do I know Disney? Yeah.
Well, no. Apparently we like to talk about Disney on this podcast
a
lot.
Yeah, we do.
I don't know. Sponsor us.
Disney Plus.
That Splash Mountain ride.
Uh-huh.
You know, like the patch, the...
The bramble or
yeah, whatever that is. That's what it reminded me of.
It probably is that. It probably is like some bramble.
Which is amazing because I didn't think that was a real thing. My whole life as a kid, I was like, oh my God. But then I'm like, nah, it's not real. But I just saw it in Patrick's foot. It's stuck in his foot.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently it went through his
soft
palate.
It's right there in the soft palate.
Oh.
I can't. Ooh, God,
no,
I can't imagine.
No. Absolutely not.
Can't imagine. Also, because that's the kind of thing, too, where it almost, like, doesn't hurt right away. It only really starts to hurt after you've pulled it out and the adrenaline comes away from that spot and you're on, like, the pain sensors start kicking in and you're like, ah.
That's not fun. But David does his best.
Dude, David is a fucking rock star.
Yeah, he is.
This is such a testament to, like... You know, there's a lot you can say about David and his, like, inability or, like, incapacity to, like, handle certain things. Like, he is not a hiker. He is not a planner. He is not a guy that, like, functions in the wilderness all that well. But when his man's life is on the line, he's like, where's the first aid kit? Let's go. Hand sanitizer. Yeah. Disinfectant. I got you. Like,
which Patrick is not prepared.
Exactly.
He did not come with a first aid kit. But I'll be damned if David doesn't have that hand sanitizer, which can also be used as a disinfectant.
I didn't know that.
I wouldn't try that.
I don't know if that's true.
I don't think it is.
But I think the point is, right, like... He understands that, like, okay, they can't do much right now.
Yeah.
They're literally in the middle of a 2-hour hike. It's a long way up and it's a long way down. Either way, it's going to be a while before he can have medical attention.
Yeah.
So at the very least, let's just keep the wound clean, you know?
I love it. He takes off his little sock.
I know.
Puts the hand sanitizer on there and he's like, okay, we're going
to
survive.
I don't have to worry about gangrene at least.
True. You know, going back to what Patrick tells David... How they still have a half an hour to go. Things you don't want to say in that moment.
When things are heightened.
Right. Even for me, just watching, I'm like, oh, that doesn't sound fun.
No.
And David's like, I'm hungry. You brought me here. Can we just sit down here and do the thing? Like, please?
I know.
But yeah, Patrick was like, I've got a half hour to go. And everybody just goes, oh, God, that's a long time.
So David sort of patches him up.
Yes.
Gets him at least in a place of like, can you walk? You know, if you can, then let's continue. Because you've done all this work. And I don't want to not have this moment with you. And as long as you can put weight on your foot, let's do it.
Yeah.
So they do. They keep going. Patrick is like, I have to get ahead of you. You have no idea where you're going. Like, and then when we cut back to them, David has Patrick.
He has him on his back. He's carrying Patrick.
Dude, again, A plus David.
Oh my God.
A plus David. Amazing.
Like, my, how the turntables. Like, seriously.
For real, though.
In this episode. Because Patrick, again, is always the one who's prepared. He has been the one to kind of, like, take that on in this relationship.
Right. Like, the take charge of it all.
Yes. And not today. David is very much that person in this relationship today. Mm-hmm. And I love it.
Yep.
I really love it. I don't know how Patrick feels about it.
Yeah.
Because it's really fucking with him. And I mean, the whole thing is fucking with him and his plans. But like, he's so frustrated by everything. And I think that he envisioned this perfect moment, this perfect day with David.
Yep.
Leading up to, you know, ultimately
what ends up
happens. But step by step, beat by beat, this is just getting all fucked up.
Yep.
And, you know, David's certainly like taking the reins on this and being Patrick's like savior and everything is not what Patrick wanted or right.
It's meant not the
to
narrative
happen.
I think that Patrick had envisioned in his head.
Right.
But here's the thing too, is like Patrick is sort of bringing this upon himself because like he's so nervous, understandably. Yeah. He has put so much planning and effort into this whole day that like, you know, he's put so much pressure on everything.
Yeah.
That like the slightest misstep, literally in his case, or just everything that goes wrong, or like David sort of complaining and stuff, it's making him even more anxious and he's taking it out on David. Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, it's sort of like the like unfortunate, you know, circumstance that they're all in right now because of how much importance Patrick has placed on this whole day.
Yeah. Also, we know David to be very put together, very organized with what he likes in his life. Mm-hmm. You know, the apothecary speaks to that. Mm-hmm. He has it beautifully put together. And that's David likes things how he likes things and when he likes things. And that's who David is. Patrick is also very organized in this. And they've come to learn that about one another, like their weaknesses, their faults. And they it kind of like works, you know?
Right.
But I think knowing that, and like you said, Patrick setting expectations for this day, I think it's, for me, I don't think it's so much Patrick like, well, that fucked up my plans. I think that he's thinking what he wanted for David and what he wanted this to be for David, because he wanted things to kind of fall in line for this day for David.
Yeah.
He wanted this to be a perfect day for the love of his life.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So this could be something that David talks about forever, having been so perfect.
Right.
And not skipping a beat with everything. And so at some point, Patrick feels like this isn't going to work.
Right.
This is not how I want this to be talked about later on.
Right.
And let's just chalk it up to this didn't work. Let's try it again some other day.
Right, right, right.
This is not how I wanted to do this.
Right.
But David is very, very insistent on what do I do? Like, just tell me what to do.
Now that we're here, he plops Patrick down on the rock and he's like, okay, how do I set up the picnic?
Like, so he's kind of letting Patrick know in that, you know what? I don't care that this isn't perfect. Right. Can we just have this picnic?
Right.
Can we just be here? We're here. And he makes it all better when he tells Patrick, like, I appreciate you, everything that you've done for me. Like, this is amazing. Let's do this.
Yep.
And that kind of is like, okay, well, let's finish. And literally David says, oh my God, just tell me what to do.
Yeah.
That's it. Just tell me what to do.
But I actually think like what you were saying earlier about it's that moment, because up and until he plops him down on that rock at the top of the hike and they look at this beautiful view and it's gorgeous and definitely worth all the trials and tribulations it took to get there. And even at that moment, Patrick is not sure he's going to do what he wants to do until David says, okay, now tell me how to set this up. Yeah. Like, David refuses to let any of the missteps ruin this day for them. And in that way, Patrick has the assurance that even though it didn't go exactly the way he had planned, it's still a story that's worth having be the story.
It is. I mean, what do you do when, just like Patrick says, here he is, the love of my life right in front of me. So what do you do when the love of your life is just like, babe, let's do this.
Yeah, tell me. I got this.
Let's make this work.
Let's go.
I mean, that's ultimately what David is saying, is like, it doesn't matter. Let's make this work.
Exactly.
This is going to work.
Exactly.
And boom.
I think that's it. That was all Patrick needed to know. Like, okay, let's go. Take the blanket out of the bag.
It's not always perfect.
Right.
But this is us.
Right.
You know?
Okay.
Okay. So how should I set up the picnic? Yeah, I think it might be a little late for that. Why don't we just take in the view for a little while, and then we'll save the picnic for another day.
Okay. I didn't carry you up a mountain not to eat cheese after, so.
I don't know, David.
Okay, just tell me what to do, and I'll set it all up.
Okay, fine. In the red bag, there's a blanket. You can take that out and lay it down.
Okay.
In the second bag, there is a bundle of crackers and cheese.
Excusez-moi.
And champagne.
Hmm.
And just one more thing. If you go into that front pocket there, there's actually something.
Yikes! Excusez-moi. Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. So it happens.
It happens.
It fucking happens.
David pulls out a longish jewelry box.
Yeah.
And immediately is kind of like, well, he turns around and sees
Patrick on his knee
and is like, wait, what's happening?
Oh my God, my heart when David turns around and sees him and is just like, oh, what's going on? Like, he knows what's going on.
Of course he does.
And he, oh my God, the shock. You could just, it's like, it takes over his entire body.
Yeah.
And it's so hilarious. I've never seen you watch, you know, to take notes and stuff. And so I saw that you had the
scene playing.
No, the caption.
Oh, the subtitles. Yeah,
the subtitles. And it's so funny because it says he gasps. And then, like, Shane even says that he's shaking and stuff. And I'm like, oh, my God. It's so funny because he is.
He is.
He can't believe it. His whole body's shaking. He's just on cloud nine right now.
Yeah.
This is the most perfect thing. And fucking so well deserved. I mean, David is so deserving of love, even when he hasn't thought that he was.
Yeah.
And who better? Come on.
I know. I love it. I love so much about Patrick's proposal. Like, when he says, you know, like, I used to do this hike a lot. Couple years ago when I was developing feelings for a guy I just got into business with, you know, and I didn't know if he'd feel the same and I didn't know how to tell him and all these things. And it's just like how far they've come, you know? And when you see it sort of just like laid out in front of you, like the way that he just like sort of says their whole life story together, like in that little neat, perfect way. And it's just like, my gosh, like when Patrick came on the scene, he was literally just a guy that worked for Ray, who helped notarize things, like, and here we are.
I know. Let's talk about these rings.
Oh yeah, the rings that I didn't know were gold until 2 days ago.
They're very important. I mean,
I know.
Talk about perfect.
Amazing.
To know the love of your life so well that,
yeah,
I mean, because we know that David always wears, you know, the silver ones on his other hand.
Mm-hmm. Or in whatever configurations that we refer you shit sheets to dive into.
Yes. Please look that up because she has laid it out so perfectly.
Yes.
But yeah, so he buys him 4 gold rings. And that is completely perfect. And David has to ask the question, are these 24 carat? Before he even says yes.
I know.
As if that's going to be the deal breaker here.
Right.
Which, of course it isn't, but.
Of course not. Because he doesn't even wait for an answer before he's like, it's yes, it's a yes.
I love that so much. But yeah, and you know, Dan has worn these rings on a few occasions. Mm-hmm. We saw him wear it to the Emmys.
Mm-hmm.
And a few other times that we've seen.
Yeah.
Always a nod to the fans and stuff. And I genuinely appreciate that he does that. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun to spot. when you see it and you get really excited, you're like, oh my God, he's wearing the rings.
I know. Well, it also speaks to the fact that like every bit of fashion on this show is real. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not just props. It's not just for the show. Like,
no.
These are real pieces of jewelry that are cool and worth wearing. And, you know, he ran the fucking show. He gets to keep what he wants to keep. And he kept those rings, you know? That's really cool.
It's funny that you say that because fashion is having quite a moment in this show. Like, in this entire show.
Yep.
From day one, and they just got nominated again for costume at
Deb Hansen.
Deb Hansen doing the damn thing.
Crushing it.
I mean, the show just needs to get that award already.
I know. If it's going to win nothing else,
yes.
It fucking deserves the costume award.
Our fucking podcast wouldn't have an entire segment
I know.
About it. If it wasn't true, I mean,
yeah, the costumes on this show are as important as anything else.
Yeah.
Like how they always say that New York is the fifth Sex and the City character. The fashion on the show is the fifth Rose or whatever.
Basically,
like, you know?
Basically, yes. Yeah. It's 100% true.
Yeah.
So, yeah, guys, can we just give them the award already, please? And thank you.
Get it together, award shows.
Thank you. So the hike, the proposal.
The proposal.
Oh, my God. They're engaged.
They're engaged.
Holy shit.
I know.
Our boys are engaged.
It's so exciting. They're so adorable.
Let's just, right now, this wedding is going to be fucking spectacular.
It's going to be the event of the century.
If David has anything to do with it, you're damn right. And you got a mom like Moira Rose.
Oh, boy.
I love you. And you have, your sister's Alexis Rose.
Yep.
This is going to be big.
Yeah, it is.
What if it wasn't? What if we're just like totally wrong?
Just go to the courthouse.
It's a very modest thing, just in a field, in a meadow somewhere. And
also
it's,
very, you know, David aesthetic, let's be honest. Like, I could see him going either way with this. You know, he could be very extra or very minimalistic and simple.
Now, having said that, we've seen a couple of photos from the next season.
True.
So whatever, but, you know,
true.
Whatever. Just
but
right
they
now.
But they can look good and still have a simplistic wedding.
Sure.
You know?
Of course. They could also be fucking with us.
That's true, too. That's true, too. Oh, my God. I literally, like,
I don't know.
The fuck is happening? Like, you know the entire next season is going to be all about this wedding.
I
mean, amongst other things.
Well,
but, like,
yeah.
You know, like, as far as they're concerned.
Yes.
It's just going to be 14 episodes of planning this wedding, like, for sure.
A few things I'm excited about for next season. I'm excited, obviously, for this wedding, the wedding of all weddings.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also excited to see what happens with Stevie.
Yeah.
Extremely excited to see where life takes Stevie, because I'm like, fingers crossed that it's going to take her somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I love her, and she deserves it.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Is that going to do it for us?
I think so. Any stray observations or anything that you want to talk about?
Kind of a stray observation. Okay. Not so much. The button on this episode is Alexis returning to the cafe after hours, where Twyla's just sort of cleaning up, and asking Twyla to give her another reading that hopefully will be a little more positive and less dire than the last one, and sort of wipe out the other one and make things good. And Twyla tells her that, you know, they left the table so quickly she didn't have a chance to finish their original reading, but she saw her family with a ring of light around them, which is a symbol for prosperity and that Alexis is on the right path.
You know, the very first time I saw that, I cried when she said that, because I'm like,
I'm crying now.
I know.
It's making me cry now.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I don't believe those card readings, but I believe this.
I believe that
this
too.
It's perfect. It's going to be, it's very telling, I think.
I think the most importantly telling thing about this is that it's just her.
Oh, interesting.
Like, Ted's not there for this part.
Yep. And she tells her, you're on the right path.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah. We'll see.
Oh, man.
We'll see. But for this episode, that is where we leave it.
It is. It is.
Let's get into our first segment.
Who or what best?
Whoop, whoop. I'm going to go with the metallic, insane, like, little straight jacket looking top that Moira is wearing throughout the episode, yeah, like at the hospital and everything. It's got like chains around her hip and all this like, you know, blousons happening around her neck. And it's just very like, it's such a statement piece, like most of Moira's wardrobe. It's just, yeah, it's pretty spectacular. So that's what I'm going with.
I am actually going to go for the sweater. David's sweater.
Nice.
It's so hard to take him serious while he's wearing the sweater. And it's such an important moment. He's wearing this damn sweater. And I love him for it. Mm-hmm. And this is just David's thing. I mean, clearly we know that. But it's so furry and fuzzy. And like, it's not even just one big bulky. It's like, tight in some places. It's strange, and nothing that I've really ever seen him wear before. This is a little bit more, I think, out there.
Sure.
In terms of a sweater.
Sure.
But it still, it catches the eye, and it's just, mm-hmm, you can't not talk about it. So I'm gonna go with the sweater.
Nice.
Yeah.
Let's get into our next segment. Ratings. Ratings.
This episode for me was perfect. I didn't have any issues with it. Sometimes we get into the whole Ted and Alexis storyline and I have something to say about something, but not this time. I like where this went. I like that Ted was very understanding of Alexis and her concerns, and I like how this ended with Twyla telling Alexis that she's on the right path, basically making things right. And the rest is just beautiful. I mean, the whole Stevie and Johnny, Moira and Johnny, and that love there and the concern. And then, hello, you get the proposal of all proposals. So it's perfect. So for me, I'm giving this a 5 out of 5 unfolded programs.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, how much more is there to even add to that? I completely agree. It is a perfect episode. As perfect as anything could be. And so I'm giving it 5 out of 5 bashful clams.
Need we say more?
So with that, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. You can find us on social media at Upschitt's Creek Pod on Instagram and Facebook, or at Upschitt's Creek on Twitter. You can also subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/Upschitt's Creek. And till next time,
we love you, shitheads. Keel Vaj.
Blessings. This episode is brought to you by the generous donations of Emily and Lucina.
Well, hello, you.